chapter 60. In this chapter, we have the letter that Moroni sends to Pahoran, the head of government. And in this letter, we learn a lot of the responsibilities of government. And in the beginning, he condemns them for not sending them support. And he makes two big points. The first point is in verse 8, and he says that the leaders are there to protect the people, not the other way around. The people don't protect the leaders. It's not the people who sponge. It's not the leader that sponge off the people, but they're to help the people, and so on and so forth. But again, we see that in our government today that those roles have been reversed, just as exactly as he condemns these people for. And he says, therefore, in verse 10, that the blood of the people will go upon the heads of the government. And we have to say ourselves, have we seen that in our day and age when we lose 50,000 lives in Vietnam for a completely a political game where no one cared to win the war, no one cared to do anything about it, and our government leaders sat on their rear ends in Congress and chatted about their politics and played their games for their own power, while 50,000 men died in their shuffling. And it makes it clear here that they are, those men's lives are directly upon the leaders' heads, and they will be held accountable for those lives. And then in verses 12 and 13, we learn that it says, said that the Lord suffereth the righteous to be slain, that his justice and judgment may come upon the wicked. And that's another important thing we learn. Just because people are dying, that doesn't mean that these are all wicked. Even though we know the Lord purges the people, that's not the only time. We've also seen when he allowed all the righteous to be burned so that the people of Ammonihah would have have a curse or judgment be brought down upon them, and that's what it's saying here. So in this case, he's saying that many righteous are dying. And also, you know, we know that Moroni has said that he knows it's because not just the wickedness of the leaders, but it's the wickedness of the people. This problem's coming on them, but he knows that there are many righteous among them. So therefore, he says that that he feels the judgments of God are coming upon these people, which due to the people's wickedness, which started with the leaders. And as we saw, and he then says, it's because the leaders sought for power and authority, and because the people want these to have men in charge and seek for power and authority, which is obviously the whole concept of having men in charge, then therefore this is why the Lord is coming out against them. And he says that, he makes it specific, that the Lord's judgments are coming against those who do not support freedom. Again today, we are a people that do not believe in freedom. We do not study freedom. And even when our present prophet has told us to study freedom, the leaders of our church fight against us on this concept of freedom and claim that we have all the freedom in the world, but have no concept or study at all of individual freedom. Not freedom of a country, but individual freedom. And that's the freedom that Moroni has displayed and showed that he stands for, and that he tells us here that God stands behind. Then in verses 17 through 23, Moroni really displays his anger. And mostly, again, it's against this desire for power and authority. And that's what we see. Again, it's not just in our government, in the church. Men continue to say that they want position and power, and they want the priesthood power, and they want the authority to do this. And that's all they're after is desires for power and authority. And they think that they are going to be saved by that. So therefore, Moroni says in verses 24 to 26, he talks, and it's summed up by saying that they must now show the true spirit of freedom. Now, that's a true spirit. That's just not talk about freedom and then say, oh, look how wonderful we're prospering as we do today, and that means we have freedom. But everywhere you turn, someone's telling you can't even drive on the roads that are supposed to belong to the public unless you've paid them a fee, and you can't have a car unless you turn your title over to them, and you can't have any land unless you give them some money. And in every single instance and everywhere you go, you're confronted with bureaucrats who are telling you what you have to do in order to just have the right to enjoy your own property and access to the to go to your friend's property and so forth. And the point is, that's the true spirit of freedom. It's not just to talk about freedom and say that you're a free country. It's to have the spirit. And a spirit is an individual thing. It's something you feel inside you. It's not something general. It's not something big. It's not a country or government or a church. When we talk about spirit, we're talking about an individual thing. And in this case, we're talking about the individual freedom. And he says, if you do not show this, then, and he says the spirit means you have a desire. And when you have a desire, you don't only desire it for yourself, you desire it for others. And he says, therefore, he will come in and cleanse that inner vessel of all those who do not want that. And he makes that clear threat. And then in verse 27, he makes two important statements. And the first is that the punishment for those who have desires to usurp power and authority is death. This is a serious thing. And today we've watched the entire usurpation of power and authority by the government until they destroyed a constitution. We've watched all the men at the head of the church usurp the power and authority of God until they tell men that they have to do what they say and not what the Lord says, and that we run the church by consensus of men instead of by the power of God and the direct revelation of God. They've usurped all these power authorities, and this is serious to God. When men do that, they have become followers of the devil. They desire the works of the devil, and that is punishable by death. And that's what the Lord punishes by death, whereas those who believe in a personal relationship with the Savior and believe that that the Savior can perfect them, they receive the punishment of death from the others of being blasphemous. And that's where we have the two sides. And right now we clearly see that those who seek power and authority are in power in the world, and they can expect the punishments of the judgments of the Lord to come out on them, as we're told here by Moroni. We then learn another thing in this verse, and that is, when freedom is denied to the people, then the minority, a minority, then has the right to come out in rebellion. That we can have our laws by the voice of the people, and we can live by the voice of the people. But when then the freedom is denied, though, then it's those are no longer then we no longer go by the voice of the people. Moroni then makes it clear that he does not fear them. He fears God. He will do what God wants, and God commands us to support freedom, and so therefore he will bring his army to Zarahemla to cleanse it and in support of freedom. And he condemns them, and in verse 31 he makes a statement that applies to us today. The Lord will not suffer that ye shall live and wax strong in your iniquities to destroy his righteous people. And we're not just talking to America, we're talking to the church and all the churches that are using whenever you put men in charge, you are trying to then divert the righteous to follow you, and you are giving them a false god and diverting them from following the Lord. No matter what good things you tell them to do, the only true advice you can give a person is to turn unto Christ, and to then give them every example and every effort on your part to take them to Christ. And today, again, we do not have that. Instead, we have iniquitous leadership. And what is the iniquity? The great iniquity is the seeking for power and authority. So Moroni then says, you act speedily, or he will come and cleanse them. And he makes it clear that in verse 36 that he does not care about getting glory himself. All he wants is that All he wants is to serve the Lord, and he doesn't care about the glory of men, which again is why the other reason why men seek power and authority is they also think that then they receive the glory of man. And if there is anyone who does not believe that the leaders of the church today do not glory in man and think that they are receiving great glory for their positions and do not themselves glory in it and glory in it of man, are lying to themselves, and they can feel that in every fiber of their body. And the only way that any man can exist, as I repeat, is to continue to exist righteously in any leadership position, is to continually point to the Savior and constantly be pushing themselves off to the side and only given direction that points them past them, and I mean completely past them, to the Lord.